Maybe you're like a lot of people who feel incomplete, maybe even a little naked without your mobile phone. With a record level of mobile communication, we can be in touch all day, every day. But who or what exactly are we in touch with? University of Michigan professor Scott Campbell studies that question and other consequences of our mobile behavior. He teaches telecommunications and communication studies, and this week is speaking at Oahu University campuses. He joins us now. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
This little device, whatever you want to, you know, whatever brand mobile phone you carry, smartphone, has so changed the fabric of our lives, and what we define as being public and private seems to be slipping ever away as people find themselves needing to have their mobile phone with them at all times, looking at how that means that they're alone or not alone. Does it make it more so or less? You've been studying this for such a long time. As you look at where we are now, how do you peg us in our attachment to this device and other mobile devices?
Well, first I want to say that I think it's a good question that more people should be asking. One of the analogies that I like to use when talking about mobile communication is the fish in water. I don't think that we are really fully conscious about how much mobile communication has become a part of ourselves and a part of our society. And so right now I'm kind of coming at the questions that you just posed from the perspective of what does it mean that mobile communication really isn't something new anymore? The ability to actively communicate and now exchange information and content while we're physically moving about or taking care of everyday life activities, this is something that's distinctive. It's not the same thing as carrying a laptop around and setting it down at a space that you need to send those flows through. And so to me, I think that we take it for granted. I have some colleagues that also make this argument, and that we're less conscious, I think, these days. As it transitions from this new revolutionary ability to a basic expectation to be a fully functioning citizen and member of your social networks. If you don't have access, you're falling through the cracks.
And access 24/7. I mean, without outing anybody, I can tell you I know people who will not go to the bathroom without taking their mobile phones with them lest they miss something. Have we lost something in all that?
I think we've gained something, and I think we've lost something, yes. And I think that this is the way it works with technological change in any context, but I see this as a distinctive context. I think that we can talk about new autonomy that we have to organize and coordinate on the fly, but we can also talk about, I think, a lot of things that we are losing. One of the things that I'm interested in is solitude, and very few people are talking about this. Sherry Turkle at MIT has helped open this conversation up some. Usually solitude is considered being physically alone or physically removed from other people. And one of my arguments is that we need to rethink solitude as a matter of communication, whether we're plugged in or not plugged in actively with other people.
That's an argument that may be tough to make with people who feel that they should be connected all the time, or that's just the way it is, as you've talked about before. And yet, with the loss of being able to be alone and to hear your own voice and to be able to think your own thoughts without the impulse of anyone else or anything else, seems also to be something that we strive for. You know, be an individual, think for yourself. We say those things, and yet we walk around packing a phone.
Right. I think two of the outcomes of mobile communication, two of the trajectories that we're seeing right now is first of all, more communication in our lives. Some people early on argued that it was taking away from being involved outside of your core social networks. And research shows that it doesn't. It basically adds to it. And there might be some things to celebrate about that, being more politically involved, being more engaged in your community, being more engaged with weak ties even, as well as your core ties. But the point is that there's more communication in our lives than we've seen in previous generations. And now that it's not new, we take it for granted, and so it's less conscious. This partially explains why people text while they're driving. They're not entirely fully aware of what they're doing because it's such a part of who they are. It's like second nature. You put those two things together, less consciousness, more communication, And it creates the need for more deliberate solitude, to deliberately carve out those moments where you're alone with your own thoughts, and where you're not communicating with people. And I think that's something that's that needs to be brought to the forefront in terms of our consciousness.
It also seems to be a real answer to why we think that it's not dangerous to be doing that, because it is so unconscious, where you just simply grab for it and think, oh, I have to answer somebody and do it, unless you turn off the phone deliberately, put it away where you can't see it or hear it for the time that you're driving.
Right. We're very cognitively plugged into this technology, and in kind of a latent way that we're not really aware of, I think, sometimes. So phantom vibrations, I think, illustrate this, where you're not consciously thinking about your phone, but you're subconsciously so tied to it that you think it's beckoning you even when it's not. And so you can translate that into texting while driving. People are driving around and they have an emotion, or the phone beckons them, or something happens in their brain and they reach for the phone, or something happens with the technology and they reach for the phone. The cues are ubiquitous. And I think that it is somewhat of a habit that we have now, somewhat of a core expectation that we have of ourselves and that other people have of ourselves and have of us. And part of what explains, I think, texting while driving and using it in other situations like walking or going to the bathroom is that maybe people aren't really thinking so much about it anymore, because it's a taken for granted assumption.
But you are asking us to think more about that and what it's doing to the quality of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming at it from a unique position because it's my job to teach about this and to write about this. And so I am conscious of it. And I will say that I don't text and drive, but I will say that I absolutely myself will use the phone in ways that disappoint myself, or at times when I'm with my 8-year-old son or something like that. So I'm not saying that I'm innocent in this, but yeah, I am trying to help raise some awareness. And I'm not saying this is a bad technology. It's both good and bad and neutral. You know, it's all of it. It depends on how we use it, but we need to think about how we use it.
And that's the whole point, making it mindful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Look forward
to hearing you later on this week and tonight.
Thank you. I also want to thank the COM programs, Communication at HPU and UH, for having me.
And I'm sure they appreciate that greatly, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Scott Campbell is Professor of Telecommunications and Associate Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Michigan. His research helps to explain mobile communication behaviors and consequences. He is the featured guest tonight through March 4th at Oahu University campuses, including a free public lecture today at 4:30 at UH Hamilton Library, and on Wednesday at 5:30 at HPU's Aloha Tower Marketplace.